Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I pray that God is keeping and watching and sustaining your life. We have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians, and we have been looking at the challenges that were faced by this church in Corinth that Paul was writing to address. And one of the key things that we were able to see was this division that the church had about the ministers. There are those that say they followed Apollos, others follow Paul, others follow Cephas, who is Peter, and others follow Christ. And Paul asked the question, is Christ divided? Were you baptized in my name as Paul? No. He says, God did not send him to baptize men, but he sent him to preach the message of salvation, the message of the kingdom. And thus he urges the church to stay steadfast and to not be divided. And one of the core things that he were able to address last when we spoke is that as a wise master builder, Paul laid the foundation. And he said, no one can lay any other foundation apart from the foundation that is Christ. And he says, one plants and another waters, but it is God that gives the increase. Don't you know that all of them are one? Before God, each of them shall receive their reward. And at the end of the day, we are God's field. We are God's co-workers. We are His project. And we are the ones that are supposed to display the goodness of God, the life of God, and by the Spirit of God, when one plants and another waters, they are all doing the same work. And to God, they are all going to get the reward. And that is why we said whenever someone gives his life to Jesus, what we are clear of, that this is the work of labor. This is the work of the labors of many people. At least 7 people have spoken to this person. By the time they give their hearts, they are ready to give their hearts. And this tells us that each and every time we speak to someone about Christ, about God, it is a seed that we are planting in their lives. It is a truth that we are revealing. It is a grace that we are reaching out, that we're pouring out to this person. And we know without a shadow of doubt that, Lord, you are the one that is working in men. And that's why you call us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into your harvest field. So today we're going to conclude 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18. And then we'll be able to pick it up in chapter 4 and be able to see these aspects of being stewards of God's ministry, the call for faithfulness, the importance that as leaders that we are not supposed to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And Paul as well addresses these concerns and brings them up to the early church, to the church in Corinth. So let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 18. The Bible says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. And this is going to be one of our core things, becoming fools for Christ. So he says, if anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him be a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or things present or things to come, all are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. So, Paul is very clear that it's not about being wise in your own eyes. Just remember that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And that is why he's advising us, look here, if you want to be wise, become a fool for Christ, take on this, what the world will call foolishness, this simple belief in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it pays the ultimate substitution sacrifice for our sins and brings divine exchange that we, that are sons of men, are able to become sons of God. And by us understanding this, then we are brought into understanding, we are brought into grace, we are brought into that divine fellowship with God. And that's why he says, now, when you come to that understanding that you are a son of God, that you are one body with him, one body with Christ, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, that we are a united body of Christ, then you will realize that all things are yours. And if you can think of this as a foundation, at the end of the world, the Bible tells us that everything will be rolled up like a garment, and in Christ, it will be wrapped up in Christ, and Christ in God, and Christ will hand over the kingdom to God. So there's going to be a unity between heaven and earth. There's going to be a union. Everything shall be united under Christ. And when Christ was elevated to the right hand of the Father, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities, he was made head over all principalities for the sake of the church. And that is why when the Bible tells us that all things are yours, don't you know that all things are yours? Yes, you've lost your phone, but all things are yours. Yes, you don't have a job, but all things are yours. Yes, your church is struggling, but all things are yours. If you come to the understanding, to the revelation that God has granted us all things that we need for life and godliness, all things that pertains to life and godliness have been given to us by faith. We have received by his divine power. All things. He has granted us all things. We have everything that we need. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is this understanding that will give you a grace to reach out to your brothers. It will remove the poverty mindset, knowing that everything that is on the earth was created for you. It was created for man. The businesses that are there are for your benefit. The sky is for your benefit. The land is for your benefit. The air is for your benefit. Everything that God created was for the benefit of his man. Now, when Adam sinned, it is the ground that was cast, and the ground was told that it shall no longer yield for him its fruit. But you see, when we are obedient to Christ, when we are submitted to Christ, we now put on the new Adam. We are the second Adam. Through Christ, Christ is the second and the last Adam. We become made after his image. Just as everyone that sinned, sinned after the likelihood, after the similitude of Adam, we that believe, we are created in the image of Christ. We are created to be like Christ. We are created like him, and we are after his image. The first man was earthly. The last man is heavenly, the man from above. So when you're born again, you're no longer an earthly man, but you're a man from above. And the man from above is the owner of all things. He's the head of all principalities and powers. He is the head of all rulers and dominions. He is the head over everything. The man from above is above all. And the Bible tells us that, don't you know, you Christians, you Corinthians, don't you know, you believers, that all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Let us just take a moment to examine what are all these things. One, everything, all is all. That means whatever you think on the earth, all are yours. Number two, you can see if it is ministers, if you're arguing over Paul or Apollos or Cephas or this apostle that we have in our time or this bishop or this prophet, the Bible is telling us that all things are ours. Now, I'm not saying that now you will listen to everyone or because you will end up confused. It is wisdom to find a teacher, two or three teachers that you listen to, that you know their outcome of their lives, you've seen the impact of their work in your life, or in the lives of people close to you that you can reach out to, that they can pray with you when you're going through issues, family concerns, sickness, that you can reach out to them when your eye, when your hand is able to identify these are your people, then listen to them. Stick there, because when you do that, what you're telling God is, God, I desire that when you speak through this man of God, that I may receive my answers, that I may receive your blessing. So it's a covenant that you establish with God. And God is faithful to covenants. That is why those that are never committed in one place will never grow. You see, that is the thing about a shepherd and his sheep. When God has given, when there are sheep that are under a shepherd, they know his voice. They will not hear the voice of a stranger. Of course, Christ is our chief shepherd. But along as him being the chief shepherd, he has also given us earthly shepherds who feed us according to knowledge. The Bible tells us, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. That is, pastors after my own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, God is saying that there is a place, there is a time where he allocates you to be under certain shepherds, so that you are fed. That means you feed under good pasture. And as you are taught the word of God, then you are able to grow. Now, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, but he will also allocate for us men. Now, God is saying, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, don't you know that all things are yours? All these men that God has given us, they are for our benefit. And that is why from time to time, yes, you can hear from this person, you can hear from this person, but you must be aligned to truth. Not every man is of God, but you see, they that are written, they that are called by God, will have a people that are called to them. Every leader, someone said this statement that a leader, if you look behind and no one is following you, then you're not a leader. But you see, if you look behind and you see there are people following you, then you can be sure that you are a leader. So likewise, God has apportioned to each man his congregation, his sheep, and people that connect to them, that listen to them. And by the Spirit, you have that inner witness within you that whenever this person speaks, you hear God clearly. You hear God's guidance, you hear God's wisdom, you hear direction. It might be even about what to do with your child. But as you sit by the feet when this man is teaching, all these things are communicated to you. Now, that is an inner witness to you that you are supposed to be listening to this teacher. That is an inner witness to you that God has apportioned this man as a person for you. And this can be for a season, it can be for a time, it can be for your whole lifetime, but it is important that you find your teachers. The Bible says, in those days, your teachers shall not be hidden away from you. So God shall ensure that your teachers are available. And that is why they are called gifts of men. When he ascended on high, he gave men gifts. And it was he that gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And the Bible says this, for the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry, for the works of service, till we'll all grow into unity and that we are all united as one and we grow into the perfectness of the perfect man, the stature of the perfect man. That is the stature of Christ. And that is what God wants us to grow into. And this is the purpose that why God gives us men of God. He says, all things are ours. Now, look at the other thing that is yours, or the world. Now, this is the world here, is the cosmos, the entire system. I tell you, the reason why the world is still not under our control is because believers do not know their rightful inheritance. Our inheritance is God. Our inheritance as sons of God is that we have been given a dominion mandate. You might think you don't have money, but that is just a temporary issue. But what is in you, he that is in you is greater than the one in the world. The believer is called for dominion. The believer is called not to walk in weakness, not to walk in poverty, not to walk in defeat, but is supposed to have the mentality that all things belong to our Father, and our Father has given them to Christ, and Christ has given them to his saints, to his believers. And you as a child of God, once you have this understanding that everything belongs to you, all things are yours, the scholarships, the jobs, the businesses, the contracts, the resources of this world, all things are yours. Now, the only difference is that you must know that there are systems by which these things translate from the spiritual into the natural. These are what we call principles, and they are principles that God has established on the earth. There's a principle of giving, there's a principle of tithing, there's a principle of the first fruit, there's a principle of obedience, there's a principle of sowing and reaping. There are principles of holiness, there are principles of righteousness. Now, as you are taught the word of God, then you start to understand these principles. And when you understand these principles and walk in their obedience, it translates to an authority. It gives you an access key to access these resources, these supernatural abundant resources that are available. That's why the Bible says, where it says that there are deep things that God has revealed them to us. The deep things of God, the bottomless things of the Spirit of God are revealed to us. They are freely given. By the Spirit of God, we know the things that are freely given. When the Spirit of God is upon you, nothing can defeat you. But you see, we have not learned to take advantage of the deposit of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you will walk in wisdom. I was listening to a story of one of the pastors, I think it was in America, and he was struggling for finances. And then God told him, go and buy the desert. Now he went to his city, then he asked, oh, there's this desert, and can he buy the desert? And no one in the city was bothered. They're like, okay, buy it. They just gave him a few coins, very small price, cents per acre or something like that. And he bought it. And then he used all his money and he went to God and said, God, you deceived me. When you say God has deceived me, you are in good company. Jeremiah cried the same. He said, oh God, you deceived me. And for some time he had no idea what to do. But then eventually God led him, and he had gone into a fast. He was told to go and see one of the pastors. And when he went to see the pastor, and then eventually the pastor gave him a word. That was Kenneth Hagin, gave him a word that your season of desert has come to an end. And when he came back, guess what happened? It was almost like 11 years or something. The city that had sold to him the desert, because no one lives in the desert, no one wanted to expand, and there was no land to expand the city. And then they remembered, oh, there's a desert, so let us expand into the desert. But when they wanted to expand into the desert, they went and checked the records. They found that this man owned the desert. And by him owning the desert, he was able to sell back the same land to the city at a much, much higher profit. And he was able to have restoration. I tell you, when God answers, when God restores, when God gives you divine secrets of by which you can move into your realm of abundance, you shall know that all things are yours. All things are available. There are secret things that are not just in the open. Even you, when you have secrets, you don't just release them anyhow. You know, there are people to whom you can trust. There are things that are taught to students. They are those that are taught to disciples. They are not taught to the crowd. Jesus himself said, if you have pearls, you cannot cast them to pigs. They will turn around, trample on them, and turn around and eat you and bite you. So there are secrets that are not just given out in the open. And these are the secrets that as you walk with God, as you walk with Christ, I tell you, the more you hear the word of God, is the more you learn to know the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. And when you walk in the voice of God, then power is guaranteed to follow the voice of God. One thing God has spoken twice, I have heard that power belongs to God. The power follows the voice of God. It is your responsibility to be in the place where you can hear the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That means if you are by the word of God, then you can hear. You can hear. And when you hear, and this is the rhema word. You see, out of all I've spoken, there is something that has stuck to your spirit. That is the rhema word. That rhema word is what will sustain you in tough times, in difficult moments, and it is what that will give you grace. Now, the Bible is telling us, now, not only is the world belonging to us, he's also saying life or death. All things are yours. That means as a believer, when you know that life or death is yours, then that means that you can determine by the wisdom that God gives you, by the principles that God gives you, by the declaration of your mouth, you can determine that you are going to live. And that is why when people are sick, we pray for them and life comes to them. Peter says, to whom will we go? To you have the words of life. There is a life that is even beyond this physical life, eternal life. We have life. But even for this earth, we have the power of life. And that is why you can see how Paul speaks. He says that, look here, I desire to go and be with the Lord. But if I whether I live or die, it is a choice. It says if I choose to die, it is good because I'm going to be with the Lord. But if I stay, it is for your benefit. And this is something that Paul says. But he says, so what do I choose? I choose to stay because it is for your benefit. That means that even the choice of living or dying is in the believer. One of the things that you'll realize that people who die early, they constantly kept saying that they're going to die early. That means the power was in their tongue. And that is why we are called not to err. If any man can keep a leash on his tongue, he is a perfect man. That means that you are not able to err. Why? Because we err in words. I pray that God will give us wisdom. God will give us the revelation never to err in words. So death, when death comes, you can stop it. You can speak against death. You can speak life to yourself. You can cry out to God and have mercy. And when God has given you the liberty, you declare life. I tell you, when you speak life, there are things that are waiting for you to bring before God. There are things that have delayed. There are petitions that have delayed. And it is just for you to bring it to God. When you bring it to God, then you shall see him work. You shall see him deliver. There is that spirit of delay that is broken when you actually petition God. There are matters that you can bring to the courtroom of heaven. Once you bring it to the courtroom of heaven, then God is able to intervene. God is able to answer. And God will give you the solution. At times, the voice comes in simple terms. I remember there was a struggle recently I had where there was a delay and I just didn't know what to do. And as I asked God and just God shows me a window where I see the answer. I see an email address where it was always there, but I'd never seen it. And when I reach out to that person, within this 2 days, the matter was resolved. I tell you, when you look to God, God has the answers. The Bible tells us whether life or death. And he says whether things present or things to come. Can you imagine? The present is yours. The future is also yours. The future has been given to you as a son of God, as a child of God. It is you that determines your future. It is you that determines how far, as you are led by the Spirit of God, as you are guided by the Spirit of God, there is a place where you get to liberty. These are the liberties of the Spirit, where it is now about where God looks unto you and asks you, what is it that you want? It shall be granted to you. What is it that you want to do? How far do you want to go? What is it that you want? Who are the people you want to reach out to? There's a point that God brings out that grace, that revelation, that understanding. That is a place of liberty. And by the time you are brought there, it is because he has trusted your heart. He has trusted your judgments. You have been tried and tested. It is not just for your own benefit, but it is a kingdom agenda that you want to reach out to. The Bible says, things present, things to come, all are yours. And beyond that, you're not of your own. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That means you belong to Christ. I keep saying Christ is the Spirit of God. The anointing, you are of Christ. You are of the Anointed One. You are of Christ. In fact, when you say you are a Christian, that means you are like Christ. You are made in His image. You belong to Him. And I don't think there is a greater knowledge than knowing that you belong to God. You are of Christ and Christ is of God. And that is why the Bible tells us that your life is now hidden in Christ and Christ is in God. You see, Christ came to reveal to us God, and now he tells us that now we are in Christ, and Christ is of God. And that tells you that you are stronger than you can imagine. You are bigger than you can ever think of. You are wiser than you can ever think of. The more you submit yourself to this knowledge, the more you submit yourself to this revelation, the more you submit yourself to this understanding, it is a mindset that you must have. That sickness cannot be bigger than you. That defeat is not your portion. That hindrances of men cannot be your portion. That nothing can stop you when you're walking with God and guided by Him, walking in His power, walking in His authority. Then even men submit to that authority. When they encounter you, they know that they are hearing from an authority. I pray that God will give you insight. Insight. Let this drop in your spirit that all things are yours. Yes, you're having some complications in the hospital, but all things are yours. Well, yes, let's say you're having some challenges in your family, in your marriage, with your child. Know that healing is yours. Things present, things to come. That is why you cannot live in fear of the future. Why? Because you know who holds the future. You know who has created it. You know who is in charge of it. All things are yours. I'm going to stop here and I pray that God will give you grace and understanding and insight into all this. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your insight. That in simplicity of words that you've given us an understanding to sit on your truth, O God. And I pray that this revelation shall distill in our hearts that you have provided everything that we need for life and godliness. Your divine power has given us, not will give us, has already given us all things that we need for life and godliness, that you have blessed us. You have already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The greatest blessing that you've given us is Christ himself, is God himself. And by us being in Christ, we know that all things are ours, whether life or death, whether men, whether apostles, whether Apollos, Peter, Paul, whether things present, whether things to come, whether all things are ours and they belong to you. And you have been gracious enough to grant them to your children. And we are grateful for that. I thank you for them that are still in need of healing. I pray that these supernatural blessings translate to life to them. Translate to truth to them. May they experience the truth of the gospel. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. May your name be exalted and be magnified. Thank you for your servants. Remember them that are in various places. Encourage, strengthen. May we stay steadfast in the truth of the gospel. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. And have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.